Let's pray. Our dearest Jesus, Holy Child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. Amen. Oh, it all seems just like yesterday. In your holy book, the Bible, I wrote in chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." In the 7th chapter of the holy book, I wrote, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Chapter 9, I wrote, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And then toward the end of my book, chapter 53, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It all happened some 800 years BC, which, by the way, stands for before Christ or before Christmas. God the Holy Spirit had inspired me to prophesy to the king of Judah. His name was Ahaz. The prophecy that I delivered to him spoke to his immediate need for a sign regarding kings from the north, but I sensed deep down that there was more to that prophecy than that. You see, these two kings, the kings of Syria and Israel up in the north, were threatening Judah. They had boasted that they would come down and invade the land, break it up into pieces, and then divide it among them. God called on me to go to King Ahaz to tell him that this wouldn't happen. I wouldn't allow it. And that I should encourage Ahaz to stay strong and not to worry or be scared. And God wanted to give Ahaz proof that he would keep his promise. He told me to say, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But you know, Ahaz was so arrogant and so stubborn that he refused. "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test," he said. It was then that God's Spirit moved deep within me. And I was moved to say, "The Lord himself will give you a sign, The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Oh, by the way, I need to introduce myself. I'm Isaiah, often called the prophet of the Lord Most High. I don't know if you remember this, but I was back here about 10 years ago preaching from this very pulpit. Some 800 years before the beginning of the New Testament, I served as God's mouthpiece, God's prophet, to four different kings of Judah. And because the Lord blessed me with visions and prophecies of the Christ, the Messiah, to come, and of his messianic kingdom, I am known to many, even in your day and age, as Isaiah, the Old Testament evangelist. Now, the words that the Holy Spirit spoke through me were initially intended to assure Ahaz that this threat from the two kings to the north would not happen. It would amount to nothing. But there was more to that prophecy. There was a greater meaning to what God had inspired me to say to Ahaz. And you know that centuries later, Matthew, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, picked up on that greater meaning, and he pointed to what I was really saying. It was a prophecy that foretold not just the rescue of an Old Testament people, but the redemption of the entire world as well. You know the story. Matthew was writing about the birth of Jesus and all the anxiety that Joseph was feeling because he had discovered that his fiancée Mary was pregnant and he was not the father. God sent an angel to Joseph to assure him that this child growing inside Mary was not because Mary had cheated on him, what was because God the Holy Spirit had conceived this child in her. God even told Joseph that it would be a boy that was born, and that he and Mary were to give him the name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Do you remember that the name Jesus, the very name Jesus, means Savior? It was with my prophecy in mind that Matthew then wrote, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." See, that's me. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oh, how well Matthew understood that my prophecy was really a prophecy about the Christ. He was pointing to the very one about whom I had prophesied when the Spirit moved me to say, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." My New Testament brothers and sisters, I want you to know that I am being completely honest and accurate when I tell you that everything that follows in Matthew's gospel, Jesus' virgin birth, his life of obedience, his mighty miracles and his great sermons, his deeds of love and mercy, and especially his death on the cross and his death-shattering victory some 3 days later, all of this can properly be called the story of Emmanuel. Jesus really is God with us. He's God for us, God among us, God supporting us. He's God's redeeming us and rescuing us and restoring us. He's God saving us and claiming us to be his own. This almighty, this infinite, this eternal God came down to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And for 33 years, he lived in our midst. But centuries before he stepped onto this earth, I saw him in a vision. I was in the temple at Jerusalem worshiping, and I saw him on his throne with all of his holy angels. And you know what they were singing? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. I want you to know I was completely undone. There I was in my sin, in my complete unworthiness, and I'm standing before the King. The only words I could utter at the time were these, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." I was terrified. Like you, I deserved his anger. I deserved to go to hell. But you know what? God had one of these seraphim, one of these mighty angels, go over to the altar and there take a coal and bring it over to me and touch my lips with it. And you know what? It didn't hurt. It didn't burn. I was purified and I was made to be an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel. And in the years that I lived following that, I was given countless visions and messages of the Messiah, both his life and his ministry. In fact, if you read some of your own teachers' books today, you'll see that they say that it's almost as if I was back at Jesus' time, there in Bethlehem, where he was born. There on Calvary where he died, and there at his tomb when he came back to life. Let me give you just one example. The Holy Spirit moved me to give this Jesus four unique names or titles. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And this Jesus lived up to every single one of them. He is Wonderful Counselor, unlike any counselor the whole wide world has ever seen. He didn't just give advice as your counselors do today. He took on himself your pains and your problems, your sin and your wickedness, your shame and your guilt. And as God Almighty laid on him the iniquity of us all, this Jesus also took on your punishment. For the Spirit also moved me to write, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." This Jesus took on your worst and he gave you his best. He gave you his righteousness and perfection, his forgiveness and peace. Oh yes, the Holy Spirit had me right on target with this Jesus, a bullseye from 800 years away. This Jesus is also Mighty God. Think of what that means. This is the one who has existed from forever. This is the one who will exist forever. This is the one who created all things. This is the one who made the sun, the moon, the stars, and then put them in their proper places in the sky. This is the same one who at Christmas clutched a handful of hay in his helpless hand. How can that be? How can he be the Almighty God and this helpless child at the same time? My brother, King David, wrote this about him: "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." This little Jesus, this child of Bethlehem, grew up to be mighty in battle. This Jesus took on all the powers of sin and hell, and as the Spirit inspired my New Testament brother Paul to say, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Because this mighty God in the person of Jesus Christ won the victory for us, we now see him mighty in mercy, mighty in love, mighty in word, mighty in deed, mighty in everything. Nothing's too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. He is perfectly qualified to be our Savior, our divine deliverer in every time of need. His name is also Everlasting Father. You probably don't know this, but I'm the only Old Testament prophet who dared to call God Father. We couldn't do that. That would put us too close to him. We couldn't even speak the name of God in public. We were afraid to proclaim God's name. But Jesus changed all that. In fact, it's only through Jesus that you and I can now call God Father. Oh, how this Jesus loved to talk about his father this, his father that, his father's house, his father's business. You know that when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed about what was to come, he folded his hands and looked up and said, "Father, if you are willing." On the cross, he prayed for you and me and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." After he came back from the dead, he said to his disciples, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And you know how he taught us to pray. What did he tell us to say? "Our Father in heaven." You see, Jesus' entire work of redemption really was a work of reconciling us to the Father, of restoring us to our original identity, our original relationship as God's sons and daughters. So in this regard too, the Holy Spirit had me right on target. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Oh, how our world today longs for peace. It was no different in my day, some 800 years before Jesus. The peace that this prince came to bring, however, is such a unique and special kind of peace. We'll look forever and never find this peace if we're searching for it in our temporary possessions and our shallow relationships. My New Testament brother, Paul, whom you call the apostle, wrote this: "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is a peace that transcends all understanding. And so as you look forward to Christmas, think of Bethlehem as the place where Jesus came to put you at peace with God. Look there in the stable, in the stall, in the stubble, the stubble and the straw, and you will find the Prince of Peace. My friends, as the Old Testament evangelist, I foretold the good news of salvation in Christ centuries before it found its fulfillment in his coming. Some 800 years before it ever happened, God opened my eyes that it was almost like I was actually there. I lived my life by faith in what was still to come. You live your life by faith in what has already happened. But don't be mistaken. The Christ of Christmas is timely in every age. Receive him again in your place, at your time, in your heart and in your home, And I guarantee you, your celebration of Christmas this year will be the best you've ever had. Thanks for listening. Amen. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.